Okay, so we're just going to start with the 10th pasuk, and next week we'll go through all the other pasukim here. So the 10th pasuk, Vayavo Hashem, Hashem came, V'yitatzav, and he, and this is weird, he came and he stood. We're going to talk about that a little as well, but we'll probably go more into it next week. V'yikra kepam bepam, and he called like the other times, Shmuel, Shmuel. Okay, so he says Shmuel twice. Vayomer Shmuel, daber ki shomea avdecha. And Shmuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Again, we'll go into this next week. It's a little interesting because when Eli finally realizes, Shmuel at first thinks that Eli's calling him because he hears his name. And then Eli gives him an exact quote of what to say. And he says, when Eli tells him what to say, he says, speak Hashem. And here Shmuel leaves out the word Hashem, and some of the commentators say because he does still not sure that it's actually Hashem, like he can't believe this is happening to him. Okay, but what we're going to focus on solely today is the double, Shmuel, Shmuel. Does anybody know offhand where else we see this doubling of names? We're going to look at them all, but can anyone think of any?
Besides Avram, Avram?
Yeah, Avram, Avram. That's one. Anybody know another one? Who else might you think would have had their names doubled?
I can't remember if Moshe was.
Yes, Moshe, Moshe at the
Moshe,
Snack.
Moshe,
Moshe? Oh. At the Snack. Okay, good. So those are two of them. Those are the most famous ones that I expected everyone to be able to say, so good job. Okay, so we're just going to start out with Mitzudat Tzion, who gives a very simple explanation just to warm us up, I guess, into some of the deeper things. So Shmuel, Shmuel, HaKefel Ba Lizarez Et HaNikra. So the doubling, the kefel, comes to give zerizus, to motivate the one being called. So when you hear your name called twice, it makes you all the more attentive to whatever is going to be happening. Okay, so that's just a simple explanation. And now we're jumping headfirst into the water with the Malbim. And I must admit that this took me, this first line of this Malbim took me about 45 minutes to translate, to figure it out. It doesn't happen. It really only happens with the Malbim. It's nice to be humbled. And even then, I don't know if I did it accurately, but I hopefully, to the best of my knowledge, I did an okay job. I didn't want to write it down because I don't want to do disservice to the Malbim's beautiful writing. And I feel like I should repeat this every time I mention the Malbim. Just to give you some historical background on him, he lived in the 1800s, so he's quite modern, and he made it into, if you buy a classic Nach Mikraots Gedolot, this one right behind you, you will usually find the Malbim in it, so that's pretty cool. Just as a side note, if you open up the Vilna Shas, the Gemara, and you look at, it's like the second page where it lists all the contributors. So for almost all of them, it's a whole page and it's very small writing. It's well over 100 contributors of rabbis who wrote commentaries on it. So for almost all their names, it has Zayin Lamed, Zichrono Livracha, because he died, of course, that rabbi. But for a handful of them, if you look carefully, and there's a couple on the very last column, it says Shlita, which means that they were still alive when the Vilna Shas was published, which is pretty cool that you saw your commentary on the Vilna Shas while you were still alive published. So Malbim is pretty late in terms of commentators that made it into our printed edition of the Mikraot Gedolot, most of them. And he had published some halachic works, but at the time, because of the flourishing of biblical criticism and the Reform movement, he decided to dedicate his work to Tanakh and to explaining words and explaining the context so that people would see that you can't just throw it away with biblical criticism. So yay for the Malbim. And thank goodness we have his commentary because it's beautiful. Okay. Ha'amida. So Vayavo Hashem v'yitatzav. Hashem came and stood. I'm getting old. I can't read it. V'yitatzav or v'yitatzav? Okay. Ha'amida v'hahit yatzvut. So standing and standing. Now, he's going to explain to us the difference between la'amod, standing, omed, and hit yatzvut, standing. So he's going to explain the difference, not here. But both of these things, these types of standing, Hushal min ba'ale geshem el chol haruach ha'elyon al mikomo. So hushal means it's borrowed from the owners of gashmiut, the owners of physicality, okay? Two, and chol here is not sand, it's like chalila, it's a vacuum. So the vacuumous of the spirit, of the higher spirit, on its place. Okay? So it means when we, and I think, I have to clarify this that I could be wrong. When we have images of Hashem personified, the Malbim is saying that this spiritual, I don't want to say emptiness or vacuous because that has a negative connotation, but the ethereal, how do you pronounce that?
Ethereal.
Unlike my kids when they learn a new book from reading a book, when learn a new root word from reading a book and they pronounce it funny that time. Okay, ethereal entity takes on a physical characteristic. So Malvim is saying that they borrow from those physical entities for their to engage in this physical world as spiritual entities. Does that make any sense? Okay.
And I thought they were talking about wind and rain.
Yes, exactly. That's why it took me 45 minutes. Google Translate does not help in these things. It finally clicked for me when I remembered Chol and Chalila were related. Okay. Ritzon Lomar. So what does this mean? Al ha'inyan hamit dame alav betzalmo. Now, this doesn't really tell us what it means. It just goes on to make it even deeper. So this is the matter of that which is similar to him in his image. So what is the most similar thing on earth to Hashem? What in this physical world could Hashem possibly latch onto to be able to communicate us, to go from one dimension to the next? Okay? Shehu ruach hanavi asher huchan laza. This is the ruach of the prophet that is prepared for this attachment of the spiritual world into the physical world. Sheba alav gamken v'tanach aleihem haruach, that he comes to them and he rests this spirit onto them. Ukmo, and this is in Breishit Kafchet with Yaakov's image of the ladder. V'hine Hashem nitzav alav. So in the story of the ladder, it says Hashem was standing on, and then we don't know whether to say it, meaning the ladder, or him, meaning Yaakov. Okay? It's a weird image nonetheless. V'amar b'midrash rabba. We learn in the Midrash, and I quoted a little bit of that on the next page. After we read it, we'll look. So let's first look at the next page. Sorry, I got on the next page. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, harasha'im mitzkaimim al Eloheihem. Evil people, wicked people, stand or exist on top of their gods, as we learn from Paro's dream. Next week's parsha, right? Upara cholem vihine omeid al hayor. So in Paro's dream, he's standing on the Nile River, and the Nile River for the Egyptians was a god. Aval had tzadikim, but tzadikim elokehem mitzkayem aleihem. The Hashem, their God, with a capital G, exists on them. Shenamar v'hine Hashem nitzav alav v'yomer ani Hashem elokei Avraham. Okay, so now we can go back to the Midrash.
I didn't get that at all.
Okay, so Paro, in his dream, is standing on the Nile, and the Nile is God with the lowercase g. Yaakov, in his vision, Hashem is standing on him, so to speak, kivyachol, as if we could say. So that's the difference between wicked people and righteous people. I guess it's humility, because Paro thinks he's above everything, whereas Yaakov, in his vision, knows that there's always something above him, Hashem standing on him. Okay. So there God... Their God, with a capital G, exists on top of them. Ki yitzabek hakol behachelek. Because the entirety can stick or cling to the part. The entirety and the part. Ve'anuach alav chol ma'ale udvekut. And therefore, this spiritual thing can come and rest on him and cling and have dvekut. This, how do you translate dvekus?
Stickiness.
Yeah, stickiness, clinging to Hashem. Okay. Ukvar yadata, and you already know, ha-havdel bin omed uben natzav. You know the difference between these two verbs of standing and standing. Shehahit yatzvut, hu bedavar shetzarich lihitchazek al sheyishaer b'makom hahu. Hit yatzvut, this type of standing, is something that needs strengthening in order for it to remain in its place. Okay? So the way I usually translate it is, when you're hit yatzvut, when you have hit yatzvut, you're standing... Hi, Sharon.
Sat in for a few minutes.
Yeah, of course.
I'm chatting with her daughter.
Okay, of course. Yes. Yeah. We're doing, we're in the middle of a malbim. Okay, so we're discussing the difference between the verb natsav and the verb amad, which both mean standing. So the malbim is telling us that hit yatzvut is something that needs to be strengthened. It needs chizik in order to remain in its place. So when someone's described as like Miriam, is vatitatsev, she remains in her place when Moshe is in the Nile River and her mother is left and they don't know what's going to happen to this little baby. So she really, in order to remain in her place, you can imagine it was very difficult. She needed strengthening to remain there, as opposed to the more casual just standing. Okay. Be'achar shechomer ha'adam hu masach, and since the material aspect of man hu masach is a screen. Okay, so our bodies, everything physical about us, is a screen. Mavdil bein ha'or haruchani hashofea al nefesh hanavi. This screen separates between the spiritual light that flows onto the soul of the prophet. Tzarich chizuk v'hityatzvut lihisha'er davuk bo. So therefore, in order for this spirituality to remain entwined with the physical, the spirituality needs strengthening in order to remain there, because our whole physical being is a screen that separates us from spirituality. Okay, does anybody have any questions on this? So that's why the verb in the pasuk is that Hashem vayityatzev, he stood in this verb of nun sadik bet, and what it means. It means that in order for Hashem's spiritual entity to break through the physical barriers, in order to stick to the soul of the Navi, there needs to be this chizuk, this strengthening. Okay? It's really crazy stuff. Okay. Now it's a little bit more practical here. Ukvar be'enu, and we've already explained, b'mekomot acherim, in other places, Hata'am sheyikra lehanevi'im shtei pa'amim. Why Hashem calls to the Nevi'im twice. Okay, so that's really our discussion here. Why, when Shmuel receives this prophetic calling, Hashem says, Shmuel, Shmuel. He repeats his name. Avraham, Avraham. That's with when the angel stops him from bringing the knife down on his son. Moshe, Moshe, at the burning bush. And Shmuel, Shmuel here. Shehu le'orer shnei chalakav. The reason why he has to be called twice is because the Navi has two parts to him. Haruchani, the spiritual part, v'hagashmi, and the physical part. Shiyu muchanim al hadibur, for him to be ready for this speech from Hashem. Be'en hamakom po leharich, but we can't elongate here on it. V'hine, Shmuel lo amar devar Hashem. Okay, Shmuel doesn't say devar Hashem. I spoke about that before, how he doesn't quote what Eli tells him exactly. Okay, so now where does Malbim link go at this at length? The next page. Usually I have some English translations for this too. Okay. So the Malbim says in Bereishit Kafbet, so this is the story of the Akedah with Avraham when he's about to bring the knife down on Yitzchak, and the angel calls out and says, Avraham, Avraham. Okay? So the Malbim there says, Ve'od yesh ta'am ki kfilat kriya ba'u al shnei chalakav. And there's another reason why the doubling of this calling comes to his two parts, the two parts within him, el haguf ve'el hanefesh, to the body and to the soul. Shetchila kara el haguf, So at first, he calls to the body. So the first Avraham, the first Shmuel, the first Moshe, is a calling out to his physicality, to his body. Sheyit pashetz michumriyoto. That he will disrobe, undress from his materialism. Okay? So the first Avraham, the first Shmuel, is get out of your physical mindset. V'yuchan el hanivu'ah. And be prepared for the prophecy. Ve'az, once he has disrobed himself from all physicality, yikra el chalek hashamayim mimal shehi hanefesh. Then he calls to the highest heavenly part of him, which is the soul. Aval kriya zo hayal esorach maaseh. But this calling is for an action, where he has to use his body. Shemisha dain lo hitpashet min hachomer legamre. That he hasn't completely disrobed himself from the physical. Lo yitzuyar sheyaseh kezot. Because then, if he died, if he became completely a soul, then he wouldn't be in a position to do the action that he's being called to do. V'lechein kara rak pam echat el hanefesh. And that's why he's only called once to the soul. Shekvar hitpashet tachomer me'aleha. Because it's already disrobed from the physical. Vatilbash machlet sot, and he's wearing an extract. I think it's wearing an extract of the physical. V'Avram heshiv hineni, and Avram replies when Hashem calls him as hineni, shemuchan umizuman al ofenze, that he is prepared for this. Actually, I think he might be describing why originally he's only called once, and it's not until later that he's called twice. Because he needed, originally when he's called to do the action, he's only called once because he has to do this action, and it's later that he's called twice. Okay, now let's get back to the more general. So here's the Tosefta. Tosefta was written around the same time as the Mishnah. Okay, so this is also dealing with Avram. Afalpi, notice, Chaim, that this is the Lieberman edition of the Tosefta. Okay. So Afalpi shechazar v'kara ad Avram Avram, eino l'gnai eila l'shevach. Okay, so even though it calls him twice, don't think it's because Avram needed to be called twice, right? You might think that Avram wasn't paying attention, and therefore, you know, like you have a little kid, you say, Matan, Matan! You know, it's not like that. This is Avram, Avram. This is a special double calling, okay? Don't think it's for l'ganai, to insult him, derogatory. Ela l'shevech, rather it's praiseworthy. Le'Yehoshua Hoshea, so here's another one. It's not quite a doubling in our respect, but Yehoshua Hoshea in the Pasuk, they follow each other. It's the same person. Hoshea becomes Yehoshua. Eino l'gnai, eila l'shevach. It's not derogatory, it's praiseworthy. Hu Avram ad shelo nidbarimo. He was Avram even before Hashem spoke to him. Vehu Avraham. Oh, it's comparing Yehoshua and Hoshea because of the change in letters. So he was Avram before Hashem spoke to him. Vehu Avram misha nidbarimo. And he is Avraham after Hashem speaks to him. Hu Hoshea ad shelo nichnas l'gedula, v'hu Yehoshua mishana nichnas l'gedula. He's Hoshea, before he entered into greatness, became a leader of the Jewish people, and he's Yehoshua once he enters greatness. But now it's interesting. Moshe, Avram, what?
Moshe's name doesn't change.
Right, exactly. And nor does nor the second time, Avraham, Yaakov, Shmuel. Kulan, Lashon, Chiba. These are all loving words. Lashon, Ziruz, motivating words. Hen, they are. Ad shelo nidbarim hem, before they were spoken. Vehen, misha nidbarim ahem. And they were the same after he spoke to him. Hen, ad shelo nichnesu l'gedula. Here they were before they achieved greatness. Vehen, misha nichnesu l'gedula. We're going to see this with another source too, how these men were so amazing that even before these prophetic moments, they were the same. And once they had these prophetic moments, they were the same. Okay, the next source is the same. That's why I invented it. Okay, now this is an interesting source. I just put three examples here. So if you look at Shmuel, Shmuel, Avram, Avram, Moshe, Moshe. So you'll see in Shmuel, Shmuel, and Avraham, Avraham, and it's also the same for Yaakov, Yaakov, you'll see a line in between them. In Moshe, Moshe, you don't see that. Okay? So Moshe, Moshe is the only doubling where you don't have that little line which serves as a break. So even though the notes themselves, there's no break between Shmuel, Shmuel, Avram, Avram, according to the actual notes. This line connotes a little break. And you'll notice also that they're different notes, if you pay attention. Shmuel, Shmuel, Avram, Avram are munachet nachta, and Moshe, Moshe is mercha tipcha. Okay.
Moshe is basically his nevua and connection was different than everybody else's.
Excellent. How so?
Well, I mean, his the ability to sort of see Hashem's back.
Right.
The ability to, and also you, there isn't a sense that there was so much of a, I mean, yes, there was sort of a transformation because brought up sort of with Egyptians, then returning to sort of his people, but there doesn't seem to be as much of an internal transformation. I mean, Yaakov clearly, because he sort of wrestles.
Right.
Avraham clearly, because, you know, he sort of made that statement of monotheism.
Yeah.
But Moshe, it's, I'm thinking out loud, but I guess the difference is the Moshe is much more of, his transformation is less of a spiritual nature. It seems more of an affiliation nature.
Interesting.
Like, you know, like, because Avraham, but they, you know, I don't know. Because we don't really know so much about Moshe's life.
Right, before he was
But we sort of, he emerges sort of on our...
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of Midrashim about
what happened between
years. Like from the time he married Zipporah in Midian until he's 80 years old seeing the burning bush.
Right.
Perhaps with Moshe, the difference might be that he is being called upon now to be a leader, and that with Abraham, it's sort of more of a personal, individual role for him. That, I mean, after his life, he's going to be known as a leader of the, you know, nation, but at that time, when he's being called, it's more of a personal thing, whereas Moshe is being called upon to be a leader, and maybe in that way, he's being called on as, like, Hashem is trying to elevate him so that he thinks of himself as a leader.
Interesting, nice.
Also, Avraham, Yaakov, and Shmuel accept what Hashem says, but Moshe says, oh, not me.
So interesting. Yeah, that was, you'd think that'd be, okay, interesting. Okay, so
the nature of the prophecy different as well.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how, but they say that he received prophecy in a different way.
Right. So the rabbis have some fun with this. I mean, I don't want to say fun. They take a more literal approach to their midrash in use of the word psik, this like break. So we'll see what they have to say. But I liked everything you said. Okay. Ve'yomer Moshe Moshe, atah motze be'Avram Avram yesh bo psak. So you find with Avram Avram, there's a little psak. This line is a break. Yaakov Yaakov yesh bo psak. Shmuel Shmuel yesh bo psak. Aval Moshe Moshe ein bo psak. Lamachem. There is no break. Why is this? So another explanation. Im kol hanevi'im hifsik milidaber imahen. With all the other prophets, Hashem stopped hifsik psak speaking with them. They all retired. They got to retire. But Moshe lo hifsik kol yomav. But with Moshe, he never stopped speaking to him. Tani Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Mahu Moshe Moshe, Lashon Chiba, Lashon Zibruz. So here we're repeating some of the other midrashim we saw. It's a Lashon of love and a language of motivation. Dvar Acher, Moshe Moshe, Hu Shalamad Torah Be'olam Hazeh, Vehu Atid Lelamid Be'olam Haba. He learned Torah in this world, and he will continue to learn Torah in the next world. Sha'atidin, he'll teach it in the next world, actually. Sha'atidin Yisrael Leilech Etzal Avram, Ve'omrim Lo Lamadnu Torah. So in the future, Israel will go to Avram, and they will say, teach us Torah. V'hu omer lehem lechu etzel Yitzchak, shelamad yoter mimeni. Go to Yitzchak, because he learned more than me. V'yitzchok omer lechu etzel Yaakov, sheshimesh yoter mimeni. Go to Yaakov, that he served more than I did. V'yaakov omer lehem lechu etzel Moshe, shelamda mipi hakadosh baruch hu. Go to Moshe, because he learned from the mouth of Hashem himself. And this could be another reason that some of you were saying for why he doesn't have the separation. Havahu diktiv, and this is what's written in Tehillim, Yechil Michael Achayel, Yireel Elakim B'tzion. Go from strength to strength, meaning from each of the fathers to Moshe, that Chayel Achayel, and Hashem will appear at Zion. V'ein Elohim, it's actually Elohim here, Ela Moshe. And what is Elohim referring to? Because Elohim does mean God, but it can also mean judge, a judge or powerful. It's referring to Moshe. Shenamar, because it says, and this is in Parshat Shmot, Ra'a Natatiha Elohim Laparo. behold, I have given a god to Paro. And Rashi there translates that as Moshe. I've given Moshe to Paro, and then it says a Navi to you, and the Navi there is Aaron. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana Amar Kol Misha Nichpal Shemo Hu Bishni Olamot. In one other explanation, anybody who has their name doubled is in two worlds, this world and Olam Haba. Okay, another Malbim. Okay, so this is on Moshe. Okay, Vamru v'sifra. So we learn in the Midrash, Moshe, Moshe, Avram, Avram, v'chule. Lashon chiba, lashon zivrus. We've seen that a few times, that it's a language of love and also motivation. Devaracher, hu Moshe ad shelo nidbarimo, hu Moshe misha nidbarimo. He was the same Moshe before and after his prophetic experience. Uperash yisham, tchila amar, shama, shekafel hakriya shtei pamim. And I explained there that in the beginning, there it doubles its name twice. Hakriya atzma mora ziruz, v'kafel hakriya mora al-chiba. So calling the name by itself is motivating somebody, but doubling it is a language of love. V'shuvno tentam al-avdel shebein kriyat Moshe. And here's another difference between the calling of Moshe. Moshe shelo ba b'psik ben shnei hashemot. Moshe Moshe doesn't have the break in between its two names. Uva Avram, v'chein b'chol shnei shemot habayim smuchim yesh tamid psik b'nehem. And with all the rest of the names that are doubled, there's a break. Azel merit devar acher. On this we say, hu Moshe ad shelo nidbarimo v'chulei, that he was Moshe before and after. V'tzol nomar, ki kol ha-nevim shelo hayu muchanim el ha-nivua b'teva. None of the other prophets, and this is what somebody said, none of the other prophets were naturally ready or prepared for their prophecy. They needed one calling just to awaken the material aspect. That it would prepare. That it would disrobe the soul from it. And the second calling was to the houses of the soul, and lachashi means whispers, but I think here it means hidden things, all these unseen areas of ourselves. V'lachein yesh psik ta'ama b'gavayhu. And therefore there's a break between them, because they needed those two callings in order to be fully prepared to receive the prophecy. And they needed a break in between them. So the break symbolizes this spiritual readiness. Aval b'moshe shekvar haya hachomer muchan el ha'hafshata hazot. But Moshe's physicality was already prepared for this disrobing, naturally, b'teva. V'lo charad, v'lo zami menu. He didn't tremble and he didn't shake from it. Lo nimtza psik b'nehem. He doesn't have any kind of break between them. Ki chalu hakriyut tekef el hanefesh pnima. Because the calling was able to go immediately into his inner soul. V'amar l'zal b'midrash, and it says in this in midrash, kol ha'nevim hifsik m'ledaber imahem. For all the other prophets, Hashem stopped speaking with them. Umoshe lo hifsik, but he never stopped talking to Moshe. Ratzon lomar shamad tamid muchan el hadibur b'lo hafsaka. What this means is he was always ready for talking with Hashem without any kind of break. Okay, so it doesn't even necessarily mean that the other Nevi'im retired, so to speak, but it means that they would have breaks in between their prophetic experiences, whereas Moshe was always ready. Okay, so you guys hit on a lot of those things. Okay,
I just have a question because I came in late. So the double Avraham is the only time that Avraham is referred to twice?
That's funny you should ask that, because Avraham is actually referred to twice? No.
I mean, is it only at Akkadah?
Yeah, it's only at the Akkadah.
Okay. So, then, and it's at the, it's not the command to take his son.
Right, exactly. And that's why I think that's
so that's an interesting contrast.
Right, and I think that's what the Malbim was saying, is that the first time he couldn't have this separation between his body and his soul because he needed to fulfill this action. And it wasn't until after he'd fulfilled all the physical actions that were necessary for this test that he was called. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I just realized that as I was reading it.
Except what's interesting is, if that's the case, it's also all of these doublings are not for Nisayon. None of them are for tests. They're all really true prophecy.
Right. Avram says, yeah, well, we're going to see.
You know, it's not like God, like you thinking God's asking you to do something. It's like, this is it.
Right.
I'm saying your name. Pause.
Right.
Get
right.
And hear me.
Right. And we're going to see a couple other more unusual doubles, too, that don't fit into either.
Oh,
no. So,
okay.
But I saved those for now.
So what's the issue with Moshe said twice just for Chibah? That's the only
reason? Yeah, and zeros. But he didn't need the break.
Why did he need zeros if he was always ready?
So I think I might not be translating zeros. Zerizos, like... I think it might be deeper than that. But for the other Nevi'im, it was also Chibah, but they needed a break between the first calling and the second calling to have this separation of the body and soul to prepare themselves for it. Whereas Moshe was immediately ready. He didn't need to separate. His body was already somewhat separated from his soul. Okay, so next Midrash Shmuel. It adds something to it. So, Tani Rabbi Chia, Avram Avram, Yaakov Yaakov, Moshe Moshe Shmuel Shmuel, Lashon Chibah, Lashon Zeruz, Rabbi Elazar, Omer. So Rabbi Elazar adds something to it. Ula Dorot, to the generations. Ein Dor She'ein Bo Ke Avraham, Ein Dor She'ein Bo Ke Yaakov, Ein Dor She'ein Bo Ke Moshe, Ein Dor She'ein Bo Ke Shmuel. He's saying each of these people are doubles because they are sort of these icons of our history, and there, in every generation, we have an Avram, Yaakov, Moshe, and Shmuel, and everything that they represent. And it'd be interesting to see, like, what do these four characters really represent, and how are they then, how do they manifest themselves in each and every generation? Okay, but on the other hand, we have the opposite midrash, which I thought was interesting. Vayomer Avram Avram. Kol mi shenichpal shmo mipi davar hakodesh. Anybody whose name was doubled from Hashem. In Bedoro Kamoto, there is no one in his generation like him. He's unique in his generation. Avram Avram, Yaakov Yaakov, Moshe Moshe, Shmuel Shmuel, Kulan Karan Davar Bekafuel. Each one of them had their names doubled. Ve'en Bedoran Kamotam. They were one of a kind in their generation. So it's not completely the opposite. It's just saying they were unique individuals. There was nobody else like them. Ve'im Tomar, and if you want to ask, Yitzchak Amaylo Nichpal Shmo, why wasn't Yitzchak doubled? Okay. The question is better than the answer, as is usually the case in most things. V'yesh l'hashiv, it's possible to answer, so I think even the owner of this midrash isn't completely satisfied with this answer, because he says it's possible to answer. Ki kodem sheniftar Avram, before Avram died, haya Yaakov memaleat mekomo. Yaakov fulfilled his role.
Well, because, right, Yitzchak's sort of the...
Yeah.
The passive of the three.
He's always
sort
neglected.
Of wedged in.
Yeah. Okay. The next one is basically the same. It's repeating a lot of the other things. Okay. So now I included the full list of all the doubles, which we're going to see in the next midrashim. So the first one is actually Noach Noach. But it's not a calling. It's just a repeating of his name. So the difference between the four that we've been looking at, Avram, Yaakov, Moshe, and Shmuel, is that it actually came from the mouth of Hashem. These next ones are within the narrative of the Tanakh. So, Ve'ele toldot Noach, Noach ish tzadik. Ele toldot Terach, interesting, and the Midrashim are going to comment on that. Terach holidet Avraham. Avram, sorry. The next one, Avram Avram, the next one, Yaakov Yaakov, the next one, Moshe Moshe, and the final one is from Rut, Ela told up Peretz, Peretz Holid Chetzron. Peretz, if you remember, is this week's Parsha, with the twins, Peretz and Zerach, that Tamar gives birth to Yehuda, so he becomes the progenitor of, ultimately, Mashiach, David HaMelech, though. Okay, so let's look at this next Midrash. So it's talking about Moshe's doubling, and it says anybody whose name is doubled has his portion in two worlds, and then it lists this whole list that we just did: Noach, Noach, Avram, Avram, Yaakov, Yaakov, Moshe, Moshe, Shmuel, Shmuel, V'haktiv, Terach, Terach. But look, it also says Terach, Terach. That's the most surprising one on the list, right? Amar lahem, Af Terach yesh lo chalek b'shnei olamot. Even Terach has a portion in two worlds. V'lo meit Avram Avinu, Ashenit Baser, Mimaseh Terach Aviv she'asat Tshuva. Avram did not die until it was the good tidings were told to him of the actions of Terach his father that he had done tshuva. Shenamar v'ata tovel avotecha b'shalom. As it says in chapter 15, the Brit Bein HaBetarim, the covenant of the parts, you will come to your forefathers in peace. Amar le, Avram said to Hashem, kol ma shesigalt to ma'asim tovim, ani holach etzel avotai. All of these ma'asim tovim, how can it be that I'm going to go back to my fathers when I've, you know, acquired all of these ma'asim tovim and changed my life around? Be'otasha, at that very moment, b'isri ha-kodesh baruch hu ve'amar lo, chayecha she'asa avicha tshuva. At that very moment, Hashem informed him and told him, by your life, your father has done tshuva. Lefichach nichpal shmo Terach Terach. And therefore his name is Terach Terach. And this is another shir in and of itself, Terach, because before Hashem said, lech lecha da Avraham, Terach, at the end of Parashat Noach, was already on his way to Canaan. So something going on there with Terach. Okay,
so
now...
does that mean that's also Chibah then?
Yeah. So now most interesting is the Radak points out that in Malachim, the Mizbeach is doubled. Mizbeach. Kein derech kriya k'mo shekatuv, Avram Avram, Yaakov Yaakov, Moshe Moshe, Shmuel Shmuel. So this is the way that it writes. It can be doubled. Ubedivrei Rabbeinu Zal, Mizbeach shebebeit el Mizbeach, u'mizbeach shebedan. These are the two different altars, the one in Betel and the one in Dan. They were both in the northern kingdom. So here are the pesukim, v'yikra al ha-mizbeach b'dvar Hashem, and he called from on the mizbeach the word of Hashem, v'yomer mizbeach, mizbeach. And he says mizbeach, mizbeach. So we'd have to get more context there, but it was very interesting that this was talking about Yoshiyahu. Okay. Sorry, I'm not going to go more into that. And then we're just going to end with one other little deep insight. This is the Sefer HaYikarim of Yosef Alba, who lived in Spain, 1380 to 1444. Christian Spain. Okay, so he says, I think he's arguing something. I don't know enough about the history here. But it's clear from this that the knowledge of Hashem encompasses both personal things and general things. And to show this, when Hashem reveals himself to righteous people, he mentions their name twice. Avram Avram, Yaakov Yaakov, Moshe Moshe, Shmuel Shmuel. Lomar shehu yodea et haprati mitzad hapratiot shebo. To show him, to say that he knows the most inner details of who he is. V'chein amar Hashem livnei Noach, and this is what we learn from Hashem saying to the people of Noach's time, Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam damo yishapech. When you murder somebody, this is a prohibition against murdering, even from the time of Noach. Ki b'tzam elokim asat adam. Because man is created in the image of God. Okay? So when you murder somebody, you're essentially, it's such a horrible thing. Lirmoz al sheyedia pratit davka be'adam. Because Hashem has this personal knowledge, each person is a universe unto himself. So when you kill a person, you're not just killing one out of a whole species, you're killing an individual that's a universe unto himself. Shim lo haya bo ela yedia klalit, because if Hashem only had general knowledge of humanity, like Hashem is with the rest of living things, lishmor hamin bilvad, to only guard over the genus of that species. Matam sheraga rotzeach. Why then would we have to kill the murderer? Lefisha betzalam elokim asat adam. It's because God, man was made in the image of God. Because if you wouldn't get in trouble unless you extinct made the whole species extinct. But here, each individual person matters. Viki haoreg adam echad hu horeg kol hamin. Person who kills one person has destroyed that entire species of that one individual person. Aval yomar ki lefi shenasa adam betzalam elokim. Hinehu kayam be'ish v'harhargo ra'ui la'onesh. And that's why when a person kills somebody because he's created in the image of God, he needs to be punished. Achar sheyidia elokit hapratit davka bo, because there is this personal individual knowledge of God that sticks to him, mitzad hakoach hasichli asher bo, with the intellect that's in him. Ke'elyonim asher hem kayamim be'ish v'hayidia hapratit davka behem mitzad hakoach hasichli behem. That's repeating it. And that is why we as individuals have reward and punishment, not just as a nation, but as individual people. So this doubling of the name shows that there's hashkacha pratit, that Hashem has a knowledge of each individual, and we're not just seen as one lump of humanity, but as each of us as an individual, and that's what we learn from the doubling of the names. Okay, I hope some of that was clear.
The doubling of the name is actually being universalized.
Yeah, exactly.
Extreme. I mean, it's not just to the individual, and it's not even to the individual Jew, it's to every person.
Yeah, and
which
we learn it.
Makes sense that he was living when he was living.
That who?
I mean, he wrote this, I mean...
Oh, the Sefer HaIkarim.
Crusades.
Yeah.
I mean, people were being killed right and left.
Right. Right.
So it was not a fun time to be alive.
Right. And I love also how he says, even despite living in Christian Spain, he does not say Jews.
Right. That's a,
right. Right. So you're right. I didn't notice that before. Thank you. That he is talking about humanity. And in today's world, with everything going on in Syria and Ebola and all these things, it's our challenge today to be able to see the individuality in all these people as well. And that it's not just hordes of people being killed, it's individuals that Hashem cares about. Thank you. Okay.